All right, 12 minutes gone past the hour of 5. Good afternoon to you. Thank you for staying tuned to 92.39 during Info. You're still listening to Hard Facts with Kala Dakuru Batubo. And somehow our conversation will stay on the line of leadership. I've got a guest via the phone and we will look at leadership, but this time our focus will be on River State. Because there are some issues. I know, we talked about it yesterday, leadership at the parliamentary arm of River State government. And we told you how in the morning, according to reports, sometime around 6 a.m., Martin Samuele's led parliament sat for plenary, made some conversations around Passant strike and how they are looking at the autonomy of the legislative arm of government in the state. They also talked about the burning of the complex, or a portion of the House of Assembly complex. And not too long after that, we saw another report where Honorable Edison is here and his led legislative friends also came out and said, oh, we are voting in confidence when we talk the River State governor, right? And we had that conversation, but I do feel like we've not dealt with it the way I wanted to be dealt with, because just yesterday, after our conversation, reports filtered into the news that there is a court order saying everybody pipe low, everybody stay calm, everybody no more plenaries, no more deliberations. Wait till we look at the matter, the substantive matter, and then we can tell you what next to do. And I'm looking at it and I'm wondering, how does this affect you and I? How does this affect the common man? It's our human right that the governance structure is for the people, by the people, and of the people. And that's why I have a human rights lawyer who is the National Legal Advisor, the Committee for Defense, Committee for Defense for Human Rights. I'm talking about Barrister Henry Ekine. It's good to have you on the show. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, brother. It's my pleasure. It's quite a good time to be with you.
All right.
And my pleasure to be here.
All right, then. So let's start from the basics. I know we've had the conversation before, but let's have it again. Looking at the current power tussle at the legislative arm, the parliamentary, or the parliament, I beg your pardon, what would your legal explanation be? Can you hear me?
I was asking
based on the power tussle happened at the parliament, what would your legal explanation be? What is your legal explanation of the happenings in River State Parliament?
Well, it's a mix of legal issues that could be deduced from all of the happenings. The first will test the legality of the actions, and of course, perhaps the procedure, constitutional procedure of some of the actions. That will really be a serious talking point, because anything with respect to the removal of any elected official, whether in the legislature or in the executive, of course, amongst the three arms of government, it is only the executive and the legislature that we elect persons to fill positions, would require constitutional procedure. So, everywhere a recall of an elected member of the legislature, then it would be a constitutional procedure to recall an elected member of a legislative house. If it is the removal of a governor, which is the instance case here, then it will also require constitutional provision for the procedure for removal of a governor. That's Section 180 of our constitution. So that's a legal issue. Then another would be, if you like, the matters that have been drawn into court and then they are in jurisdiction of the court being activated, with respect to the contestations and controversies around the leadership of the River State House of Assembly, we certainly raise serious legal issues of who is the Speaker of the River State House of Assembly, what is the procedure for emerging as a speaker, to be elected as a speaker or a deputy speaker of the River State House of Assembly, or any House of Assembly in that regard, and then who are the members of a State House of Assembly after the Constitution has established the State House of Assembly under Section 90 of the Constitution. Section 91 talks about how the House of Assembly are constituted. So some of the issues as to who decides where the House of Assembly will legitimately seek to conduct the business of the House will be a legal issue. All the issues that are raising within the period as to where the House of Assembly should be having proceedings validly, and who has the power to decide where the members of the House of Assembly should have. Then the judicial proceedings, again, will raise some legal issues. That is, now that some of these matters have been drawn to courts to test the validity of the actions of some persons or to seek restraining orders. So there are a lot of issues that will raise legal questions. Then, in all of this, how is democracy being affected?
Now that you've brought that up, how is democracy being affected? Has it ever been in our history or in the history of democracy that, I mean, I'm talking about democracy now, of course, in military situations, the parliament is suspended and the parliament fails to be functional. But in a democratic system, have we ever seen where the parliament is not functional, the parliament is not existing? Have we seen such a situation? Because right now, it looks like we don't have a parliament given the court order, if I understand. The court order very well.
It is not conceivable. The bedrock of democracy is actually the parliament, and that's why in a representative democracy, the parliament would always be the platform for representation of the people and the people's interests in constituencies, delineated into constituencies, and then those representatives elected into parliament to represent constituents of those constituencies. So it has to give a definition to democracy as a representative government and periodic in that regard. But where you have the parliament suffer suspension, whether by some decree or by some order of court, then it's a serious test to democracy and a threat to democracy as a matter of fact. But one is acceptable while the other is not. The suspension of democratic, a legislative process or the legislature by a decree of, say, a military junta is not acceptable at all. But the suspension or, if you like, the restraining of legislative functions or activities by the judiciary, which is constitutional and lawful, will be an acceptable one. But at the same time, is also a check, it's in some form, to democracy. But not a threat by the legislature, but a threat by the happenings, either in the legislature, not a threat by the judiciary, rather, but it's threat by the legislature or between the legislature and the executive, as we have in the instance case in River State.
All right. I know I once had a conversation with you, and I know you mentioned in that conversation that good governance for the people is a human right of the people. Now, in this situation, can we say that the human rights of Nigerians is being breached? Can we say that the human rights of Nigerians is being breached? I mean, can we argue in that direction?
Yes, the right of every resident in River State and every indigenous of River State with respect to our representation is threatened at the moment.
Okay.
Why it is for a single day that a platform where the residents of River State and indigenous of River State who are elected representatives to represent their constituents of their respective constituencies for the purpose of legislating, making law for the enhancement of their welfare is threatened and is suspended. So it is a concern to the right of citizens to participate in the decisions of matters that concern them. And because this participation in a democracy, in a liberal democracy and that, a representative democracy, is one that the legislature, the members of the United House of Assembly, are by extension representing every person in River State, because the entire state is delineated into constituencies, 32 of them.
Right.
And so they're elected to represent them. So a crisis within the legislature that has led to the suspension of some members is the suspension of the right of the constituents of those constituencies. That's my point. Then again, right now that even the crisis has led to the invocation of the jurisdiction of the court, and the court rightly exercising that discretion and then that power to check the inadequacies of the legislature or of citizens generally, haven't come to the legislature, to the judiciary to complain, and also put a stop, a pause, if you like, to the rights of the citizens to be represented in government.
All right.
So arguably, though, but that's the situation that is at the moment, because the force or the effect of the order of the court or the Federal High Court restraining every activity in the River State House of Assembly. Let me explain that action before the Federal High Court was actually one instituted by the River State House of Assembly, because the first applicant in that suit is the River State House of Assembly.
Mm.
Then the second applicant, as I understand, is the person of the honorable member representing one of the constituencies in Ahuda East, I think constituency 2 in Ahuda East, the honorable Edison here, against the first respondent in person, as honorable Amewule, who ordinarily was elected as the Speaker of the River State House of Assembly, and arguably in his own right remains the Speaker. But the applicants are saying that he's no longer the Speaker, but is interfering with the proceedings and the business of the River State House of Assembly.
Yeah.
Same as the second respondent, who is the Deputy Speaker. Then the other three respondents are agents of state that are restrained from giving support one way or the other to the first and second respondent.
Can I pause you? Barrister, can I pause you? We've got a commercial break, so we'll continue explaining the court order when we come back.
It's okay then.
And now, Hard Facts on 92.3 Nigeria Info.
All right, apologies for the very long commercial break. Remember, we did not have any commercial the previous hour, so I think this hour has now been overwhelmed with all of the commercials. But it's good to have you back, and I thank you for staying tuned and you've stayed listening. And I still have my guest. I have Henry Akinne, who is a human rights lawyer and the National Legal Advisor for the Committee for Defense of Human Rights. Welcome on the show. Welcome back on the show.
Thank you, Kalada.
All right, this is Hard Facts with Kalada Karubatibo. And we're looking at the situation at the Riverside Parliament. And before we went on break, my guest was telling me or explaining the court order. So, Barrister, can you tell me what you were, you know, trying to say before the commercial break?
Yes, I think I was at the point of explaining who the parties are on the face of the order that before us, order of the Federal High Court, sitting in Port Harcourt, that the applicants are the River State House of Assembly, and then Honorable Edison who is on the face of the process, the Speaker of the River State House of Assembly, as the applicants, and then seeking certain restraining orders of the court against the respondents, first and second respondents being the Speaker, the Honorable Amewule, described there as former Speaker, and then one Honorable Dumle, described her as former deputy speaker. And then the third, fourth, and fifth respondents being state agents, that's the Nigeria Police, the DSS, and the Commissioner of Police, to restrain them from giving support or enabling in any way the first and second respondents from interfering or obstructing the proceedings of the University of Assembly. Now, that application came principally, substantively on notice, but along that, there was an ex parte application for interim orders of the court to restrain the respondents. What it meant that the court had ordered that parties should maintain status quo, which is what requires further explanation here, is that court had considered that the fact that the jurisdiction of the court has been activated and then that the matter haven't been brought before the court, that all the parties should maintain the position, as it were, before while the matter is subsisting in court, and until the court decides one way or the other on the merit of the matter, that the both parties should maintain status quo.
What's the status quo?
The status quo apparently is the disputes that has brought the matter to the court, and by explanation, let me describe the crisis in the University House of Assembly, or the situation that was before the matter was brought to court, which, to my understanding, is the claim of the position of the Speaker of the University House of Assembly, and then the House of Assembly as applicants, and then they put it the same way as it came, because for the respondents, they also claim that they are the Speaker and Deputy Speaker respectively, that they are the Speaker and Deputy Speaker. So this dispute and this conflict that arose before the applicants came to court is the situation before the court.
Okay.
So the court is saying maintain
before
that
the conflict.
And why the court didn't have to answer, is the court has instructed to state here that the court did not grant the prayers of the applicants to restrain the speaker and the deputy speaker in the manner that was so requested by the applicants. But the court directed by the order we have seen that the parties should respect the court and stay action with anything that would have to do with the issues that have been raised and presented before the court to determine, which will include the leadership of the Riverside House of Assembly and the proceedings and the activities, or if you like, the actions of the Riverside House of Assembly, because those were the issues that the applicants brought before the court to say these first and second respondents are interfering and obstructing.
Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? Now, does it mean that as it were before the conflict, as it were before the Sunday night when that explosion happened at the State House of Assembly complex, that legislative style or structure can sit for plenary and hold debate and make laws and, you know, check and balance the government of the executive?
I didn't get that clearly, please.
I'll say it again. Now, does it mean that staying action is that the Riverside House of Assembly will go back to the way as it were before that Sunday night when the explosion happened at the State House of Assembly complex, and then the conflict started, and that structure can make laws and checkmate the government of the executive? Or the executive?
No. Okay. Not at all.
Okay.
That's not the cause of action. That's not the matter before the court as far as the applicants are concerned.
Okay.
If any other person has any other issue to approach the court, even in respect to what happened on the 9th of whatever day. No.
My question, barrister. My question is, I'm saying before that explosion happened, there was a structure. Martin Samuele was speaker, deputy speaker, you know, was there as well. And then Edison Eye was majority leader. I'm saying, are we going back to that structure? And if yes, can that structure deliberate on laws? Can it debate on issues? Can it checkmate the government, which of course it is responsibility as...
I understand that. I said no.
Okay.
Let me know. I've actually said no, my understanding.
Okay.
The status quo here was the situation the applicants had established before the court.
Okay.
Which, for that situation, there is an applicant who has presented himself as the speaker.
Which is Edison Eye. Okay.
And then the Riverside House of Assembly, in his own argument, would mean that the Riverside House of Assembly was conducting the affairs of the House of Assembly as the speaker himself. Then that the conduct of the Riverside House of Assembly was being interfered by the first and second respondents, who are named there as individuals and described as former speaker and former deputy speaker.
Right.
So as far as the court is concerned, the court is not presented with what the situation was sometime in September or in October.